Happy Sabbath, brethren. Greetings to our minister in Ohio, USA, Mr. Richard Hackett, to Miss Irene Muiga and family, Mr. Mario Harina in Australia, our scattered brethren in the Philippines, and most of all to our brethren now in UP who are attending services. Happy Sabbath and good afternoon. brethren, by listening to the Bible study this morning, I cannot figure out how am I going to change my topic this afternoon, which I'm going to give as my sermon. It's really tied up with what I'm going to discuss. Now, understand what I'm saying this afternoon, just refer to the Bible study this morning and you would completely understand what is all about my sermon. This foundation and its members for which we stand has provoked all COGs and the PCG. Before we would become entangled within it, read carefully the revelation as God contained in this book, the Book of Remembrance. Don't you know, brethren, that the work of the two witnesses, or the Ark of God Foundation, which we are part of and we are supporting right now during this last end, has provoked the PCG and COGs to jealousy because of what God has revealed to us. The foolish nations of this world, and not only with the Freemasonry as prophesied to fool before Christ will return. Freemasonry pike confirms the fact that their basic doctrine and ideas were derived from Plato, Philo, the Kabbalah, and the secret books of India and Egypt. What this amounts to is a bold-faced admission that most Christians and Masonic doctrine is a mixture of Bible teaching and pagan mysteries, and that the wise among them favor the mysteries as being deeper and wiser and spurn the plain Bible scriptures as being fit only for the vulgar masses. A rite, parable, letter, number, figure, word, etc. become a symbol, and he who had the key to science would interpret it according to the light he possessed. The uneducated and narrow-minded within their ranks heedlessly take them at face value, while those who have ears to hear receive the divine mysteries, because they have received the secret initiation and have the intelligence to understand the deeper meaning. They believe also that they had received a divine revelation coming from their gods, who had the key of science, would interpret it according to the light he possessed. They receive also the divine mysteries because they have received the secret initiations and have the intelligence to understand the deeper meaning. Each person and group of people has its own different perspective to apply revelations they believe from where they got from different gods. The positive perspective and the negative perspective apply to both. There are always two ways to consider, and how blessed we are during this last end that we truly receive true revelation coming from God, the real source of all revelations that allow God us to receive and understand the mysteries that is being unlocked to us to be able to proclaim to all of humanity when the right comes. the mystery of Freemasonry is not even being fully revealed yet to God's people during the time of Mr. Armstrong. It's only up to now when God revealed this to the two witnesses. God revealed it to us this time how the Freemasonry affects His own people to this last end. Now, if you want the title of this sermon, please write down how Freemasonry affects to God's people during this last end. How Freemasonry affects to God's people during this last end. It's always two different worlds, the way of God and the way of Satan, the way of love and the way of hatred, the way of this world or the way of teaching ourselves, preparing, developing the character of God to be ready to qualify as pioneer leader of the coming kingdom of God, and the way of Savior mindset, or the way of saving our own self mindsets, which result to vanity and pride. The key of David, or the key of Solomon's, which lead to the bottomless pit, if we will not repent. Which way are we choosing, brethren? The key of David is the work of the two witnesses and the members supporting in it, while the key of Solomon, or the key to the bottomless pit, is the work of Freemasonry, which the members of this fraternity are also supporting at it, and most of God's people are entangled with it right now without knowing, because of the creeping of the 25 men of Ezekiel 8 are on the scene now, looking whom they want to devour. Matthew 7 and verse 15, beware of the false prophets which come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. The PCG has prophesied would become a mother, a Babylon, a mother of harlot, because they adopt the teaching and practices of Freemasonry by worshiping the same God. Don't you know, brethren, that how blessed we are, even in this very end, assured us how to be Him. It's not us who actually really seek God, but God has the initiative to show first to us always where is the right way. And we should respond, brethren, to this calling always, and not allow to be deceived by any man. But later on, God would reveal to us and explain everything through the guidance of God's Spirit, that what had happened from the past is God's will. That we need, brethren, is to have faith in God that He would show us the way. In this sermon, I would like to pick up some stories of my life which I did not include in my speech, This Is My Life, during our spokesman club meeting last 2 weeks ago because of limited time that I had. Actually, I want to avoid talking about Masonry in our group because of what happened to me in the past. I had a bad experience of Freemasonry, the reason, brethren, why I settled here in Hong Kong. Freemasonry has a lot of damage contributed to my life and my family, because at first, my wife doesn't like me to join Masonry because of what she experienced. Her uncles, cousins, and many other friends are Masons, and their family are upside down because of too much involved in this fraternity. Because of too much brotherhood, they don't have much time already with their family anymore. Their priority is outside of the family already, and my wife seeing it that it will happen to us soon. But there's always a positive perspective that God made me to realize just recently after I heard a sermon given to us by one of our two witnesses in his title of his sermon, The Key of Solomon. As our situation were getting worse, my wife had to ask me, brethren, if what would I choose between masonry or family? But unfortunately, because I was so deceived during this time, I chose masonry because I told her that there's no problem on it. It's just only fraternity. And the end of the day, after being active in the lodge, I still need to go home. So what is your problem about it? I told my wife about it. Anyway, most of your time you are not here in Pagadian because you work in Hong Kong and you stay here only for a few days, maybe maximum, maybe around 4 days. But I could not convince her. She ran away with my son Solo and not seeing them for a few months and even don't know where they were staying. I know they were only in Manila because she cannot bring Solo back in Hong Kong because of the situation that no one will take care of my son in Hong Kong if she is working or flying. But after a few months, I gave up on looking many places to find them, asking from her relatives and friends if they have an idea where I can see them. To make the story short, I was able to talk to my wife and admit that I was wrong, and to be able to prove that my willingness to change, I gave up myself for being a mason and moved to Hong Kong to avoid temptations to be invited and attend meetings in fraternity again. Coming out from masonry is just like one step of coming out from this world, because I wouldn't expect that later on I also will come out from Babylon the Great, the mother of harlot, the PCG. Coming out from PCG was not a small issue for me, the same as what I did coming out from masonry. But what I realized after hearing that sermon about the Key of Solomon is that I was not coming out from masonry until I went out from the PCG. The creeping things still follow me there because of what the PCG has doing, and the pattern and principles are both the same way how they worship their gods. And I will prove it to you in this sermon. They worship the same God, and mostly the style of worshiping is not far away from what Freemasonry are doing, if we could notice it, brethren. They are all the same in origin, paganism, worldliness, and all grasping against the wind, which is vanity. Even if we are not Mason, but if our actions and our attitude would become like those members of that fraternity, we are all Masons, brethren. They seem like seeing, even we are no longer member in the PCG, but our actions, belief, and practices are still in those member in the PCG, we still didn't come out from our vanity and pride. Last month, we heard about sermon giving regarding Freemasonry and how one of the two witnesses exposed Freemasonry, the origin, and how it would affect every human being during this last end, how this world being held captive, and even God's own church is being part of it now without knowing it to some members. Abba Yahuwah must need to intervene, or else no place would survive. Man has come to the point of no return, that without Abba Yahuwah, all flesh will come to an end, because man has chosen to believe in man. This is because of man's ultimate desire to rule the world without the help from God, without God ruling over them, relying and trusting their own understanding, knowing the tree of good and evil. This is the way of man without the key of David. You want to follow and experiment the key of Solomon, which is pleasing only to our five senses, the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. Isaiah 8 and verse 1. And it came to pass when Samuel was old, that he made his son judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second, Abia. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after Lochri, and took bribes and perverted judgment. Then all the leaders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah, and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. Actually, this was being read by the sermon last Sabbath by Mr. Fernandez. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so thee also unto thee. And continue in verse 9 of Isaiah 8. Now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked of him a king. And he said, This will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you, and he will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to be his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots. To make the story short, the Israelites would like the manner of God which they wanted to be reigned. They want their own way. And in continue in verse 19 of Isaiah 8, Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, Nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also be like all nations, and that our king may judge us, and go out before us, and fight our battles. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, Hearken unto their voice, and make them a king. And Samuel said unto them, unto the men of Israel, Go ye every man unto his city. God has proven since from the beginning that man doesn't like God to rule over them. Man wanted to live a life away from God. Humanity wanted the leader whom they can trust and obey without supervision from God. Man wanted to rely on themselves and trust only their own understanding without the need for God to supervise the way that they should go. And 1 Kings 9 and 1-3, And it came to pass when Solomon had finished the building of the house of the Lord, and the king's house, and all Solomon's desire, which he was pleased to do, And the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time, as he had appeared unto him at Gibeon. And the Lord said unto him, in verse 3, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I have hallowed this house which thou hast built to put my name there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. This is the promise from God in verse 3. This promise, if we notice, brethren, is a conditional promise to man, because it is pertaining to becoming spirit eventually. Meaning, anything it is pertaining to spiritual needs to be developed and practiced constantly until it becomes stable and our way of life in the process. It's not like physical promise that it will die naturally or vanish if our direction of life will change. A good example of this is a physical and material blessing that God gave, a physical blessing to physical Israel as a result of obedience of Abraham to God. It is unconditional blessing. There is an expiration and or limited of time because it is physical and material promise. Physical won't last forever, whereas spiritual promise is conditional promise because it will last for eternity after fully develop God's holy righteous character in us. And in continue in verse 4, and if you will walk before me as David thy father walked, so if you notice here it's unconditional, it's conditional, sorry, in integrity of heart and in uprightness to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and will keep my status and my judgment, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever, as I promised to David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel. So we can prove it here, from here now, that is talking about spiritual promise. If you walk with me, if you follow my instructions, we can study from here a parallel story between the prosperous reign of King Solomon's life and the story of all mankind since Adam and Eve up to now, and how we rejected God's rule over us. Actually, this was being mentioned also during this Bible study this morning, that the whole story of the life of King Solomon is just only the same story of the life story of mankind for 6,000 years. Look at the result now, what happened next after Solomon built Yahuwah's temple. 1 Kings 11 and verse 1 to 7. But King Solomon loved ministering women, together with daughter of Pharaoh, women of Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go in to them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon cleave unto this in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Astarte, the gods of the Sidonians, and after Milco or Molech, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did father, David, his father. Then did Solomon build a high place for Chemosh Baal, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. Actually, the history of world civilization is being summarized into the story of life of King Solomon. Study the life of King Solomon, and you will know how exactly the world will be going to an end. Everything in this world is about vanity and grasping against the wind. Now we are going to study the life of King Solomon and how his entire life associated in Freemasonry and the vast majority of prominent people, president, kings, heads of government, rich people and businessmen, stars in the movies industries are following him as a sort of their idols, or some people calling him as their god because of his accomplishment and acknowledge him as the wisest man in the history of mankind. Let's see the history of Masonry. Where did Masonry originate? Some say Solomon originated it. Others say Moses. Can this be true? Here is the shocking answer from the writings of the Masons themselves. Masons place much stress on the statement that Freemasonry is both honorable and ancient. But when we search into the recorded history of the lads, the picture is somewhat confused, and no one is not yet overly impressed with either its honor or its age. The precise origin of the society has yet to be ascertained, says the Encyclopedia Britannica, and is not likely to be, as they are early recorded as lost. Masonically prepared history. Well, this is all that history gives us on the history of Masonry. That accepted origin among Masons varies from lodge to lodge. The origin accepted by any particular groups seems to be the one prepared by most of the members in that group. Most of the lodges in the United States claim to be Christian in character and therefore claim a biblical origin. Even here, they cannot agree as to specific time or founder. Some say it was from Adam. Others say it was from Moses or Solomon. Some of the more earnest and serious-minded claim the ancient easiness originated Masonry largely because of the similarity of their doctrine. The easiness were noted for their early practice of mixing Old Testament teaching with the tradition of the ancient mysteries. They apparently follow the Kabbalistic doctrines, the written form of which is referred to by Masons as the Kabbalah, and is admittedly a cheap source of Masonic doctrine. The Kabbalah is admired by Masons as being a doctrine of so logical, so simply, and at the same time, so absolute. The picture of the Bible in the Old Testament as containing allegories expressed in an incomplete and veiled manner, and as being the religious science of the Hebrews. The Pentateuch and the prophetic poems, Psalms, were merely elementary books of doctrine, morals, or liturgy, according to them. And the true secret and traditional philosophy was only written afterward in the Kabbalah. Today in modern Christian lodges, it's becoming more popular to accept the two Johns, John the Baptist and Apostle John, as the ones who started the first lodge. This absurdity comes from confusion of ancient and modern interpretation of the symbols being pictured. We thank in Chiklad's masters teach their Christian brethren that the last is dedicated to Saint John the Baptist and Saint John the Evangelist, who are pictured on the border of a circle. The pagan belief is penetrating the church now through missionary as they worship the same gods. And it's high time during this last end that the PCG and the other COGs should be exposed to this great danger that they are doing is already following the Babylon, the great harlot, as being prophesied in Revelation. What church members should know about missionary? This is quoted from the book of Mr. Armstrong, the plain truth about missionary. Pre-missionary is a type of a PCG right now, as that they are both worshiping the same God, the worshiper of Baal, sun, and the moon. This is quote from the plain truth about Freemasonry. Quote, in an intensive and extended examination and thorough research into the facts was necessary to reveal the truth too long concealed from the church. The facts brought to light from many authentic sources are astounding. This startlingly revealing book was written as a thesis in partial fulfillment of the requirements for the degree of Master Arts in Theology conferred on Mr. Elliot, June 6, 1958, by the Ambassador College. You will find it to be a stunning and eye-opening revelation. We feel it so breathtaking in interest, intriguing and shocking, but it is all the truth, carefully documented. We feel it is high time this little-known facts be published for our church members. We need to know how it came about that, even in our modern times, as the word of God foretold, all nations were deceived. Is missionary a Christian organization? Do we have the truth? Why are these so secret? Is it all right to remain in the lodge, or is it all right to join the missions? The same also in the PCG. They are so secret that even cell phones are not allowed in its member to maintain their secrecy inside the church. But God continue to expose them as many members in the church eager to write in ESN because of many hatreds already happening inside the PCG. The no-contact policy is a totally evil, fully designed that they are hiding very important secrets inside the church that they don't want to be exposed. Something hidden that only the 25 men of Ezekiel know about it, so that they can deceive the entire members from the truth. Now it is important that members of the church know something about the PCG and these Masonic lodges. It is timely that what is their teaching and beliefs would be exposed. What happened now in God's own church is like the same what is story behind in pre-missionary. The pattern and the principles are both almost the same. The Masons cannot answer most of the questions outside their fraternity because he has sworn under penalty of death not to reveal Masonic secrets. The same goes with the members of the PCG. They are sworn under the penalty of death if they intend to go out from the church. The church father assures the members that if they go out from the church, they have no chance for eternal life, that this only their chance and hope for salvation to be remain inside the church. You are already condemned by God if you decided to go out from the church, because the hope is only for those who are inside, without even asking why. Questions is not allowed inside the church. We have all heard a lot about missionary and the PCG. Many of the things we hear are almost the same story and definitions. What are the real facts about missionary? Definition of missionary had been numerous, seldom do you find two alike. Freemasonry is a beautiful system for morality built in allegory and illustrated by symbols. Masonry is an art, useful knowledge and learning, and stamps and an undeliable mark of preeminence on its genuine professors, which neither chance, power, nor future opportune can bestow. The grand object of masonry is to promote the happiness of the human race, George Washington said. The same goes with the PCG. If you remain in the church, your happiness is assured as long as you continue to follow their misleading concept. Kind of government is everything that resulted to many broken families. Children are being suspended even they are not members. Can't see in their own family. Husband and wife are separated as a result of no contact policy. Is this to promote happiness? This is what I experienced before. I almost separated from my family because of Freemasonry. And the same what I experienced in the PCG also, when Mr. McDonald tried so hard to destroy my family. Masonic doctrine is very pliable because it's too loosely knit together and embodies such a tremendous scope of Christian as well as pagan ideas. Furthermore, it is cushioned with allowances for those members who wish to disagree with either or both, because the Lodge embraces men of all religions. These allowances also absorb or explain away any objections brought against Masonic doctrine. It makes no difference whether the occasion is pro-Christian, pro-Mohammedan, pro-pagan, or pro-anything. To be more specific, Masonic philosophy is very inexact, vague in principle, and so devious in application that it can mean almost anything to anyone. Its basic teaching method is by subtle suggestion, which allows the candidate to warp his former beliefs into the Masonic framework. Masonry can be more revealingly defined as a group of men banded together in an exclusive lodge to advance, first and foremost, their personal interests, and second, the interests of certain others of their fellow men. They sit as their guide morals that are as high as other man-made goods. The fact that they are man-made is not considered a degradation by the Brotherhood. They sit at the highest and simplest of these morals, brotherly love. The brother referred to, however, is a brother Mason. The spirit of Masonry is that of mystery, pain, pomp, and ceremony, and an intemperate revelry. Desert ancient writings, Christian and pagans, in order to find the mysterious secrets of life. Brotherly love sounds familiar to the real meaning of Philadelphia. Brotherly love. The search ancient writings, Christians and pagans, in order to find the mysterious secrets of life. Supposed to be the mysterious secret of life is being removed the result becomes confusion because of their worship of paganism and sun worship. The teaching of Holy Bible in the ancient pagan mysteries are accepted alike and constitute their main sources of information. From this, they select the principle which most appeals to their desires. They have worked out 10 of their own commandments, which are an amalgamation of some of God's laws and some gleam from the ancients. Membership is lucrative. Belonging to the lads is profitable for a number of reasons. Among these is the fact that a Mason is usually better informed than the average person on community and civil affairs, as they always thought of. This is actually the mindset of the PCG. They thought they are more informed compared to other COGs, that they would not accept corrections from any other persons, even correction from God, because they believe and rely on their own understanding, thinking that they are more righteous than God. They interpret the Bible according to their own prophecy and desire, according to their own interpretations. Masons are very proficient, imaginable. They have a vast of storehouse of knowledge at their command, which they share with one another at refreshment and during special meetings. Furthermore, they do not content themselves with a knowledge that is already among them, but certain members make a life work of seeking out the uncommon and proclaiming it from lads to lads at special meetings. Not all information is edifying. However, much error is introduced by the informed among these, as the erroneous teaching about the construction and architecture of King Solomon's temple. Another helpful principle is that of extending aid to a brother Mason. Each member is dedicated to help a needy brother wherever and whenever he is able. Membership in the lodge is therefore very useful to those who seek political office, political favor, employment opportunities, business connections, travel accommodations, or a privileged position in the community. So pronounced are some of these aids that all who do not enjoy them are greatly handicapped when they compete for certain offices or favor. Political office is a good example, and the presidency of the United States is not exempted. Most of the presidents had been Masons, either active or honorary. Secrecy. Our definition cannot be complete without mentioning the secrecy of Masonry. Symbolism, which means nothing to the average person, is used to remind the Masons of his duties and morals while hiding the allegoric meaning and beauty from the vulgar eye of the uninformed. Lodges meet in secret behind guarded doors. Secret signs, handshakes, the utterances revealed one Mason to another regardless of his lodge, right, or country. Membership in the lodge is therefore a ticket to favoritism in any city or any state or any country, and is Masonic promise to happiness and prosperity. In actuality, Masons find the altruistic ideals of the lodge break down in practice. Brother Masons are not much more trustworthy than the unenlightened. Some do not find the oaths they take binding enough to keep them from defrauding even a brother. Definition of secrecy in Webster Dictionary: the condition of being hidden or cancelled, the habit or practice of keeping secrets, or maintaining privacy or concealment. Definition of conceal: to prevent disclosure or recognize or conceal the truth. To place out of sight. The synonyms of secrecy are closeness, secretiveness. And the definition of symbolism is the art or practice of using symbols, especially by investing things with a symbolic meaning or by expressing the invisible or intangible by means of visible or sensuous representations, such as artistic imitation or invention that is method of revealing or suggesting immaterial, ideal, or otherwise intangible truth or states. The use of conventional or traditional signs in the presentation of divine beings and spirits. As another meaning, a system of symbols or representations. It is obvious that what words being described is in regard to no contact policy and their belief on the Celtic throne, where they are having as part of their dancing, wherein they are forming many pagan signs. And according to them, this is the one way how they preach the gospel to be known to the world as part of their warning before the angel come. This is what PCG being described now in their size and importance. One does not ordinarily realize the scope or importance of Freemasonry in our country. Its different rites, all in the independent system, boosted 4,175 members in 1939, 3.3 million of which were in the United States. There are probably between 5 and 6 million members in the United States today. Imagine, we are talking of members only as of 1939 alone. How about now? This is the target of the PCG actually right now, doing public audience campaign or PEC, going different places in America to perform Irish dancing because they believe that through this day, they can get a lot of members, regardless if they believe in God or not. They are after of the prestige and money of that person as long as this individual could support their standard of living deliciously. Look at the names of many great Freemasons during the time. The various rites have upon their rules the names of emperors, kings, princes, priests, and governors, together with scholars, statesmen, and men of lesser stations in church and state. Here are a few famous men who had been Masons in the United States: Benjamin Franklin, President Washington, Jefferson, Monroe, Adams, Jackson, Polk, Fillmore, Harrison, Buchanan, Johnson, Garfield, McKinley, Taylor, Pierce, Taft, Theodore Roosevelt, and Truman. Other prominent members were Lafayette, Fulton, Montgomery, Sherman, Gore, Ross, Whipple, Payne, Hamilton, Jerry, Stephen, Spark, Livingstone, DeKalb, Warren, Paul Jones, Witherspoon, River, and Hancock. Most of these are proclaimed Masons by no lesser authority than the Encyclopedia America. Most local, state, and federal offices are Masons. Realize that when you apply for employment, the man who may or may not employ you is likely to be a member of the Lodge. By handshake or other Masonic sign, you would be able to greatly increase your chances of securing that job because he has sworn an oath to extend aid and comfort to a fellow Masons if it is within his means to do so. You are likewise in a much better position to have a favor granted from a public official who belongs to the Lodge when you are a member. Throughout the United States, many missions admit that they know or have heard of brothers guilty of a crime against society who were never brought to trial because of their affiliation with the Lodge, and because of aid rendered by an official who was a mason, others who had been brought to trial were either acquitted by a jury containing masons or were given light sentences. In one such instance, which occurred recently, a man killed one of his close friends. He was convicted of premeditated murder without malice and sentenced to only 2 years in prison after 2 months. Imprisonment, he was out on a 30-day leave. The man was a mason, and so were a number of the jurors and law enforcement officials. I remember one member, or I think he is a minister in the PCG, that divorced his wife and remarried another member in the church because he followed the instruction from another minister inside the church. To them, it's not a problem if you are committing a sin to God or not, as long as they maintain harmony inside their congregation. If you have a big name in the PCG, in the church, they give you license to disobey. But if you are nobody, they immediately cut you off on your head. That's almost the same in the pre-missionary. When the apprentice enters mission, he is compared to a rough usher or rough building stone. And as the usher is shaped and polished before it is ready for use, so must the candidate become prepared during the first degree, or during the first 3 degrees, until he becomes a perfect usher and may be used as a building block in the house of God. And the house of God, as symbolized by the Masonic temple, thus perfected, the master mason may enter into the work within the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies is symbolized by the central part of the structure surrounding the liturgy. The liturgy stands for God. Therefore, work in all degrees from the masters up is down symbolically in the presence of God in His most holy place. That's why when a prospective member in the PCG asking for baptism, he or she should almost become perfect already before they would baptize, published and shaped ready to use in the temple of God. Masonic temples represents the house of God, or the most holy place on earth. Observe what the PCG doing in the house of God in Oklahoma. The God's house in Oklahoma should be the most holy place on earth now. But what are they doing in there? They are performing their evilest things, performing Irish dancing, paganism inside God's house. Instead, dedicate this God's house to Abba Yahuwah. They dedicate this to Yahweh. That's Yahweh in Bisaya. Yahweh, the mother of harlots. That's actually what they are doing. After one has successfully mastered the first 3 degrees, or the Blue Lodge, he proceeds up through the Grand Lodge by way of either York or the Scottish Rite. This Scottish Rite accepts members of all faiths so long as they proceed as a Creator God and believe in a life after death. The York Rite is just a liberal except in these higher orders. An oath has to be taken that affirms a belief in Christ, thus excluding consciousness excuse from the Greeks beyond that point. That's why PCG is studying comparative religion. All religions are the same, as long as you would believe in life after death. The question, masonry would seem to them sacrilegious. No one dare to question the PCG ministers either. Just follow whatever instruction, or else you have a government problem. Don't mind too much if it is right or wrong, as long as your eternal life is yours. It's all about being selfish, wanted to be saved. Being in a place of safety is guaranteed as long as you won't ask questions. Savior mindset is far from being developed in themselves, but as long as they can satisfy their desire to get more advantage from others. Betrayal is the name of the game inside the PCG. If you reported one mistake of a member to a minister, you will be awarded by a minister as being more righteous than the others. That is what I observed. Who can belong? If a person wishes to become a member of the Masonic Lodge, he must be reborn under no bondage, or at least 21 years of age, in the position of sound senses, free from any physical defect or dismemberment, and of irreproachable manners, or as it is technically termed, under the tongue of good report. No atheist, Enoch, cripple, or woman can be admitted. Even those who possess all these necessary qualifications can be admitted only under certain regulations. This is quite common in the PCG also. If you ask for baptism, you must read 9 books. Asking you very personal questions. But if you have problem in yourselves, maybe sins that are not yet overcome, they will ask you to overcome first before being baptized. But to some, even worse, what had happened? Because after knowing that your sin is too big, they will suspend you. They want you to become perfect first before coming to the temple. Missions wives or children may not attend the regular meetings, but only such special functions as may be planned for them to satisfy the desires of wives and children to take part in Masonic functions, special or side others were adopted, such as the Eastern Star ritual, the Demolay for boys, and the Rainbow for girls. These orders have their own secrets and functions apart from the regular lodge, but follow its general pattern. They are supervised by Masons. Indeed, their meetings cannot be held without a Masons present to supervise. The same thing also happened in the PCG. Singles and youth cannot have their own activities without baptized members supervising them. This is what happened to us before with my wife back in PCG. My wife cannot attend services anymore since she got suspended. But she is not a member, but can attend other activities. Only cannot attend Sabbath services. The average member of a popular denomination would say absolutely nothing wrong with Masonic proceedings. They appear wholesome and upright to him, and unless a member of God's true church is alert, he may see nothing wrong, especially if that member is a new convert. We should realize that the average lodge member has not had the advantage of seeing any Masonic teaching or symbol in the light of Scripture. He received all teachings as the hand of an apparently wise and trusted leader. The leader nearly always pointed to the Bible to prove that certain symbols are in accordance with God's teaching. Meetings are always open with prayer, and a Holy Bible is always open for the lads. To question missionary would seem to them sacrilegious. He will be confident that every good mission will be doing just that. And reference you might make to the fact that his lads meets in secret, carries on business in secret, will only reassure him that his action is according to the scripture. If he is of the intelligentsia, he may also remind you that Christ taught the disciples in parables to hide the meaning from the rest of the world. See that in Matthew 13 verse 13. He will give this as a reason his light uses secret words and symbols so that the uninformed will see or hear and not understand. Even in the PCG right now, if you don't understand their prophecy, that means because it's so diabolic, this means they will charge you as you don't have the Spirit of God. That's why you don't understand. Paganism has always been a practice of secret and mystic rites. Missions make no bones about the fact that it is these systems which they follow. They point with pride to the fact that most of their philosophies and symbols are borrowed directly from them. They see no wrong in doing so. They also attempt to prove them to be in accordance with the scriptures too. Christ spoke in parables because it was not given for the world to understand. Why was it not given for them to understand? Verse 15 of Matthew 13 explains, "For these people heart is wax, grows hardened, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed." Why would a person harden his heart, close his eyes, and refuse to hear God's laws and learn of his ways unless he does not like them? Men have proven time and time again that they will not follow God's way or take his plan seriously. They will only do what they like best and try to reassure themselves that it has God's sanctions. Jesus knew that if he spoke plainly, they would understand him. They would repent as before and again agree to follow God. But as before, they would fall back into worldliness. To keep the masses from doing that and losing eternal salvation by failing to fulfill the new covenant, they were kept in ignorance. It is not God's plan to save the world now. He is merely calling out some, the first fruits, large scale of salvation is reserved for the millennium and great white throne judgment when Christ will be here in person to supervise and rule with a firm hand. Do Masons do this? Is that why they use sacred signs and symbols? No. Freemasons use sacred signs because their whole philosophy is centered around giving and receiving aid from a fellow Masons to do the exclusion of all others. As stated above, they borrow this practice from the ancient pagans. They borrow the practice from the WCG by Mr. Armstrong and mixed by the PCG to look good, to look like they are not pagan, but in the end they slowly saying that there's nothing wrong with being pagan. All are pagans. You cannot totally be cultured if you are not accepting pagan religions. Legendary records show that ancient pagans held public and secret assemblies in honor of their gods. The secret ceremonies and doctrines were known only to those who had been initiated and who possessed signs and tokens by which they were able to recognize each other. How can you be recognized being pagans if you will not practice of what pagans are doing? It is this practice that Freemasonry and majority of PCG's members are ignorant of the fact. pagans took advantage of the allurement of secrecy to attract the gullible, and because their lewd and licentious practice could not bear the light of public witness. This is actually what the PCG are doing right now, exposing themselves to different states in America by performing Irish dancing, showing to the world that they have a new throne, a Celtic throne. This is not what Christ did. He led them here, but they could not understand because of the hardness of their hearts. But this is exactly what the pagans did, worshipping atop hills or in the deep of valleys. We can read that one in Jeremiah 2-23 and 2 Kings 17:9-11. We will not go there. Pagan claims that they keep from being away from this world, but it is obvious that they are taking an active part in government, politics, economics, law enforcement, by how they are proclaiming the gospel of God and their so-called field prophecy of this world society. Their attempt to explain away their purpose in this manner only demonstrates their ignorance of what God meant when He said that we must come out of this world and be separate. This ignorance is due to the hardness of their hearts and the true mysteries of God which they claim to possess, but actually that was before and are actually hidden from them now. Why it is hidden? Because of disobedience. Christian or pagan, many of our brethren in PCG before are not convinced that what they are practicing is pagan because of the McDonald's family infiltrated the church in a very cunning and subtle way by introducing this Druidism practices and teaching as they have been led to believe. The ministers in the PCG took every precaution to make it look good and upright in the eyes of the members. There's nothing wrong about being Druid, and even admitted by Mr. Brad McDonald before in one of his articles written that it is pagan. Druidism is pagan. Later part, majority of the members are convinced that it's all pagans and there's nothing wrong with that, some says. What is the source of their symbols? To prove that Masonic symbols and philosophies are borrowed from the ancient pagans is not difficult. The Masons prove it for us. Here is part of the official lecture for the first degree of Freemasonry, for example, the sun and moon. Says the learned Brother Deloney of important Masonic symbols represent the two grand principles of all generations, the active and passive, the male and the female. The sun represents the actual light. He pours upon the moon his fecundating rays. Both shed their light upon their offspring. The blazing star, or Horus, the three form the great equilateral triangle in the center of which is the omnific letter of the Kabbalah, by which creation is said to have been effected. We did not find this in the Bible. The sun and the moon are important Masonic symbols, just as though they were in the old Babylonian mysteries. This doctrine concerning them comes from ancient sun worship. The offspring, a blazing star, is of Egyptian origin. The same offspring which has been worshipped by pagans for generations, seen their many different names, one of them being Horus, another Anubis. As we know also that Irish dancing is the sun and the moon worship, so what it makes difference now to a Freemasons? There is no question that these symbols have their origin in paganism, as shown above. Masons prove it for us. In fact, they are proud of such an origins because of its antiquity. The Masonic Temple versus Masonic versus Solomon's Temple. The Lord's Room is supposed to be the true representation of King Solomon's Temple. Since the temple built by Solomon faced east and west, the Masonic Lodge is supposed to face east and west. The worshipful master stationed in the east and the senior warden is in the west, the junior warden in the south. Masons further claim that their temple is symbolic of the universe, having a cloudy canopy as its covering. At first glance, all this seems right and in accordance with the Bible. But let's take a closer look. God's temple, often referred to as King Solomon's temple, faces east. Why? Because Christ is coming at the time he enters the new temple will be from the east toward the west. We can read that one in Matthew 24 verse 27. The overall account of this is found in Ezekiel 43 also. Afterward, he brought me to the gate, even the gate that looked toward the east. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east. And his voice was like a noise of many waters, and the earth shined with his glory. As the glory of the Lord came into the house by way of the gates whose prospect is toward the east, so the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court. And behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house, and I heard him speaking unto me out of the house, and the man stood by me. And he said unto me, Son of man, the place of my throne and the place of my soles of my feet, where I dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever, and my holy name, the house of Israel, shall no more defile. Now study the arrangement of the tabernacle, which is a shadow or a type of God's throne in heaven, the general arrangement of which was reproduced in the temple built by Solomon, contrasts it with the Masonic Lodge. While there is some similarity in form, they are exactly opposite in arrangement. The entrance to the temple is in the east. In the Masonic Lodge, it is in the west. The Holy of Holies, where God's presence was manifest in the west, in God's temple. The worshipful master whose seat is under the G to represent God is in the east of Masonic Lodge. When we understand that the temple of God represents God's throne, we should be able to see the symbolism of Christ as our high priest sitting on the right hand of God upon becoming spiritual Israelites. We may boldly approach the throne through Christ, since the veil which separated the Israelites from God is rent in two. The Gentile was not even allowed in that part of the temple, and until this day cannot approach God without first becoming an Israelite. This is represented by the court of Israel being between that of the Gentile and the Holy of Holies. Masonic Lodge therefore represents a pagan temple which symbolizes this universe, the sitting being the earth covered by a canopy of clouds and the starry heavens, where these pagans worship the sun, which they call the father of all living, the moon, which they call the mother, and all the starry hosts of heaven. They hope to ascend into this heaven by means of a ladder, which Masons called Jacob's ladder, but which the pagans called by other names. It follows symbolically that a person enters a Masonic temple by leaving the true temple of God. Once there, he worships the sun in the east, with his back to God. When one pictures Mason in this situation, he cannot help but remember Ezekiel 8, verse 15, where God points out to Ezekiel the two worst of the abominations. And he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs toward the temple of the Lord, and their faces toward the east, and they worshiped the sun toward the east. This is actually what happened to the PCG right now. This is exactly what the Masons are doing. Is it possible that the future fulfillment of this prophecy will take place when some Jewish Masons will be in the temple of God and will actually turn their backs on him to worship other gods? Who are the spiritual Jewish Masons during this last end? Sounds familiar, isn't it? Thus, men who embraced Christianity began to mingle the old mysteries with the new, a mixture of Christianity and philosophy, or apostolic teaching and tradition of mythology. The thinly veiled admission by Masonry's most famous apostle Albert Pike explained why Masons called their temples Solomon's Temple when it was in actually patterned after the greatest pagan temples, the earth covered by the cloudy canopy of the heavens. The divinity which they worship within its walls is the sun, of which they blandly write. There is no splendor beyond what which sits its morning throne in the golden east, no dome sublime as that of heaven, no beauty so fair as that of the verdant, blossom earth, no place, however invested with the sanctities of old time, like that home which is has unfolded within the embrace of the humblest wall and roof. God declares there is only one way to live happily, useful lives, and that is the way He has appointed for us, any others such as Masonry. No matter how good it may look, is at best a counterfeit and serves only to dupe people into thinking that they have what they have not. Their work in the community is not proclamation of upholding of God's kingdom. It is instead the upholding of the system around them. They do not promote God's rule but ignore it and set themselves up as the wise leader, pretending to build character and finding benevolence by giving charity to the orphans and widows, while they privately endeavor to build their own prosperity. The following example will serve to illustrate the enormity of their mistake of following what looks good to man instead of simply obeying the Creator. Don't you know that Masons also have their own Masonic Ten Commandments? You are all familiar with the Ten Commandments recorded in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5 of your Bibles. You would normally assume this to be recognized by Masons, especially when they claim that their moral philosophy is based on the Bible. Again, this is not the case. Masons have embraced another set of Ten Commandments, which look better to their eyes than the ones God has given. I don't have time to discuss its commandment here, but for these two, I think I need to read. Notice the little circle with the cross inside it at the beginning of the first commandment. Regardless of any beautiful phraseology Masons place in the symbols, their deeper meaning must invariably led to ancient sun worship. The circle or disc symbolizes the sun, and the cross symbolizes mortality. The three dots in the form of an equilateral triangle represent the first cause and trinity of the pagan Godhead. Their first commandment is, God is the eternal omnipotent. Omnipotent, immutable wisdom and supreme intelligence and exhaustless love. So if the mission is truly a death, he would say that he has borrowed from the ancient sun worship, symbolized and creeds which would read this way for the first commandment. God, the God whose symbol is a circle and cross and triangle dots, the sun god is the eternal, omnipotent, immutable wisdom and supreme intelligence and exhaustless love. Wisdom, intelligence, and love are capitalized to remind Masons of their deeper meanings and that it in turn has been worshipped by their pagan ancestors. Thou shall adore, revere, and love him. You shall honor him by practicing the virtues. The second commandment is, O thou, religion shall be to do good because it is a pleasure to thee and not merely because it is a duty. That thou may become the friend of the wise man, you shall obey his presence. Thy soul is immortal. Thou shalt not do nothing to degrade it. You shall adore, revere, and love him. You shall honor him by practicing the virtues of the ancient pagan. What greater blasphemy could there be than this? How this must stink into the nostril of the living God when they attribute the name of the office of God to any other, they break the first, second, and the third of God's commandment. The second of these Masonic commandments, as well as the remaining eight, are likewise contrary to the commandments of God. By it, the Mason is told to do good without defining what good is, yet can surely see that it is not referring to obedience to God, because the next instructs him to seek out the wise man and obey his presence. But Proverbs 14 and verse 12 states, there is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Masons in their ignorance have pursued the way of death. Prestige and prosperity, their real goal. Few members of the Lodge could truthfully deny that their reason for belonging to the Lodge is the personal benefits which raise their community standing and financial prosperity. This goes with the PCG. The main reason why most of the members stay in the PCG is simply because of personal benefits to save them from coming from great tribulations and promise of eternal life. The ex-mission should realize, however, that what withdrawing membership from the Lodge does not of itself release him from many oaths he has taken. If he really believed at the time that he took the oaths to Almighty God, and unless these oaths prevent him from serving God and obeying his laws, he should consider himself bound by them. One cannot pass from the subject of Freemasonry without reflecting one of the futility of the struggle of its victims and feeling sorry for the gullible ones who had been led into the inner chambers like sheep to the slaughter, and they have further efforts certain material advancements which does not endure past the grave, as the laborious usually ascended thine winding stairs. They were promised rich rewards to their labor, but instead of eternal truth they were given fables. Instead of developing the righteous character of God, they grow in a holy character of selfishness and greed through seeking extra privileges for themselves to the exclusion of others. Instead of growing in true knowledge, they tickle their vanity with mysterious phrases and symbols which mean nothing, but were empty and void, only to be told at the end of their weary song journey that the mission must ever be in the search of truth, but will never find it. This august secret, the object of all their labors, is indeed humiliating reward. It is the reward of a cruel God, Satan, who deceives his worshippers into believing that divine truth can never be acquired in this life. Diabolically, his victims are taught by Masonic instruments that their ignorance must remain until they are raised from their graves and the knowledge of life is revealed. They never suspect that the reason they will not know the truth in this life is that they have chosen the wrong way and the wrong God. To conclude, brethren, before you are able to become a fully Freemasons, you have to knock 3 times. The senior deacon from behind the door calls, "Who comes here? Who comes there? Who comes there? Who comes there?" The junior deacon answers, "A poor blind candidate who has long been desirous of having and receiving a part of the rights and benefits of these worshipful lads, dedicated, some say erected to God, and held forth the holy order of St. John as all true fellows and brothers have done who have gone this way before him." The 3 times knocking being described as the first degree or the entered apprentice mission. The second is the second degree, or we call it philocrop mission. And the third is the third degree or master mission. You have to pass 3 degrees in order for you to become fully healed from utter state of darkness, meaning you have to admit that you were once in a state of total darkness before you entered Freemasonry. 3 times we're knocking to God before we can be part on this Gentile work. Most members of the Remembrancers were started from the WCG, PCG, and now in this last end work, the work of the two witnesses, the Remembrancers. In each era, we've been passing, we become blind, era to era, until this time that we are fully healed, the time of the two witnesses, because each era, Satan is trying to destroy God's church through witchcraft and sorcerers. We are considered a blind candidate once to see the light, and through entering a mission, the only way blindness being removed. All the people in this world are totally blind because of lack of understanding about Freemasonry. This is their understanding. That's why they need the key of Solomon to unlock every mystery. The PCG and the COGs, the rest of humanity, are part of it now, since they are worshipping the same gods. They taught that the only way to receive the light is to worship different gods and to become pagan. Do you believe, brethren, that if not because of the work of the two witnesses, the light of the Gentiles, no one will be able to save? Can we see now, brethren, how important is this work? Blow the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. For it is at hand, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like the morning clouds spread over the mountains. Joel 2, verse 1 to 2, and Joel 2, 28 to verse 32. "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit in all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions." and also on my men servants and my maid servants. I will pour out my spirit in those days, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Joel is certainly speaking of the events immediately before the millennium. The blood and fire of the day of God's wrath, followed by the widespread ability of His Holy Spirit as the millennium starts. Gentiles, those who are afar off, could be among the remnant whom the Lord calls. Servants to the Gentiles. Servants to the Gentiles offers hope. Joel was not alone in writing of that hope that prophet Isaiah speaks of the coming of a servant who will raise up the remnant of Israel and serve as a light to the Gentiles, to the ends of the earth. And now the Lord says, who formed me from the womb. This is in Isaiah 49, verse 5 to 6. And now the Lord says, who called me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, so that Israel is gathered to him. For I shall be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. Indeed, he says, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and to restore the preserved ones of Israel, and I will also give you as the light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. The working servant is rewarded as Christ returns, but the evil one convinced that the master is delaying his coming. Christ served as a light to the Gentiles. In those two early chapters of Isaiah, the prophet allows shows Christ is a light to the Gentiles, lurking in them as the rhetoric of Joel, the darkness, the shadow of death. Yet afterward, just as in Joel, hope shines through. To the law and to that testimony, if they do not speak according to this world, it is because there is no light in them. Then they will look to the earth and see trouble and darkness, gloom and anguish, and they will be driven into darkness. Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed, as when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, in Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. Christ, the hope of the Gentiles. As the passages in Isaiah and elsewhere indicate, God did not remember the Gentiles by way of afterthought. He planned to offer them salvation early on. How early? Genesis 12 records the call of Abram, and the first of God's many promises to him. God tells the patriarch, get out of your country, from your kindred, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. This is in Genesis 12, verse 1 to 3. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Therefore receive one another, just as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made to the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy, as it is written. For this reason, I will confess to you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again He says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with His people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, laud Him, all you peoples. And again, Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse, and He shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In Him the Gentiles shall hope. Who do you think will destroy paganism in every citizen's country, big organization? The Kabbalah, Freemasonry, and even God's people are being held captive by the system of this world. The best, the Babylon, the mother of all harlots, who are dominating Christians and non-Christians just to control the whole world into believing that they have the key to unlock every mystery, because they believe that they are wiser than God. Do you think Trump can destroy all the evil systems that are happening in this world now, believing that he is an end-time Messiah to some who believes in him? They don't want to submit to God's authority. They don't want to be ruled by Christ. That's why God established the work of the Gentiles. Only through Gentiles, the foolish nation, could God teach us the key of David. Christ reigned over the Gentiles during this time, and He will finish the work He started on us. This is how important is this work. How blessed are we that Abba Yahuwah removes the darkness and shadows of death from us and replaces with total hope and shines through this work, the work of the Gentiles. For my last verse, brethren, Daniel 12 and 3. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Happy Sabbath, brethren.